It's awesome to be a friend of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 35. Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 35. We welcome all of our guests. It's great to have Terrence and Monica with us tonight. Lord bless them and others that may be with us here. Your first visit, we welcome you. We're thankful that you have come. It is our prayer that you receive from the Lord all that he has for you. Now, we're doing something a little different. Brother Sapp has been trying to figure out a way to tame me down on Wednesday night, so he kind of invented this set of lessons here. We're going to, the normal lessons that are taught in our foundational life lessons, which we require all of our people to go through, especially if you're going to teach Bible studies, Sunday school lessons, work in some capacity in the church when in the way that you are impacting other people. So it is important to us that we feel that you're well-rounded in knowledge of the word, of the basics of God's truth. And of course, we could never exhaust the teaching and the learning in the word. So we're starting tonight lesson one. Now on Sunday, I think this class may already be full. He's got 40 or 50. We spoke to one though that we're going to sneak in, but the second set of lessons are being taught, and so this is the first set. We decided that since we can't get you out of bed early enough. Let that sink in just a little. In order to get you here to church to put you in those lessons, that we would just kind of trap you on Wednesday night and make you like a captive audience. And so we're going to go through for the next 10 lessons. I encourage you not to miss Wednesday night for the next 10 weeks at least, and to get this rich word. And the first 10 lessons are going to be dealing with the knowledge of God, the importance of the knowledge of God, knowing God, and how important it is that we know who he is. I think level two is knowing who you are in Christ. And so we're going to start here tonight. We're excited about it. It is a little different because there's a lot that needs to be taught. We want it all to be in there. It's not like Pastor is teaching one of his lessons. He gets up here and he's got 15 pages of notes and reads the text and never gets off the text because we just don't have enough time. We only have, what do we usually stay for our guests? We're usually in here, what, 2.5 hours, 3 hours on Wednesday night? Something like that. No, I'm just kidding, Terrence. Monica will be done about 40 minutes. All right, so it's 7:30, so at 8:15, we will definitely be wrapping it up. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse number 35. For whoso findeth me. Now that me there, if you go back to Proverbs chapter 8 and read verses 1 through 34, you will find out that it is speaking of wisdom and understanding, the knowledge of God. For whosoever findeth me findeth life. Look how powerful that verse is, those words. Whosoever findeth me, the knowledge of God, findeth life. Does anybody here want to find life? I want to find life. And then he finishes that verse by saying, shall obtain favor of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I want the favor of God in my life. How many of y'all know the Lord is not a respecter of persons? He is not a respecter of persons. So God is not going to favor Sister Jones and not favor Brother Mackey. He is not a respecter of persons. So how do we obtain this favor of God in our life? By learning about God, by acquiring the knowledge of God, is how we find life and we get the favor of God. So the Lord will give life and favor to anyone who is willing to make the journey to learn about Him, to get in the knowledge of the Lord. Amen. Lord, in your precious name, touch us tonight. Your word, anoint my mind and my spirit. Let the word go forth. Let us absorb it into our hearts and into our lives. Let it become a part of us, God. We ask it in the wonderful, mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody say amen. You may be seated, but turn to two or three people around you and tell them, I want to know God. I want to know God. Man, if you want a copy of the notes, all you have to do is let Brother Sapp know, and we will get you a full copy of the notes, all 10 lessons as we go along, if you would like to have them so you can review later. So the objective of this series is to get focused on knowing God. Now, most of us here tonight probably feel that, you know, we know Him pretty good. But how many of you have known someone for 15, 20 years, 30 years, and then you find something out about them and you say, you know, I didn't really know that person. I didn't know him as well as I thought I knew them. So can you, and they're finite. They're, you know, we're finite. There's just so much about us. But God, He's infinite. He is omnipresent, omnipotent. And so how can we possibly know everything there is to know about God? But this series of lessons is going to help us to focus in. I'm being interrupted by the knowledge of God to let you know that I have an American Express card. The number is, anybody want to write it down? I'll give you the code. And, oh, they even put their little pass thing here that you can, what do you call that, PIN number? They wrote it on the back of their card. That's pretty interesting. I'm kidding. Okay. Actually, it's probably a pretty bold-faced lie. I should repent of that. AAA card right there. It's not even American Express. It just looked like mine. So there it is, AAA. Does it have a name on it? I didn't even look for a name. I can't read that. If you have this and you no longer have it, it's because I have it. All right, it's been dropped. All right, let's get back into the word. And then, Brother Sapp, you can train my staff that unless they're bleeding from the artery, that was unnecessary. Okay, thank you. All right, so we want to learn about the knowledge of God. So our objective in these lessons are going to be to help us to focus to know more about our Creator. Say, I want to know more about my Creator. I want to know Him spiritually. I want to know Him intimately. I want to know Him in truth. And I want to know Him perpetually. I want it to be something that every day I get up, I learn something new about God. I just continue in the Lord. Our text said, whosoever findeth me, wisdom and understanding or knowledge, you find life and you obtain favor of God. The beautiful thing about our God is that he wants us to find him. He wants us to know him. It's not like God is hiding in some corner somewheres and he's making you walk through a maze or undo some combination or figure something out to get a little bit of knowledge. And then when you get a little bit, well, you have to, you know, you got to crack another lock or get through another bit of understanding. And no. He desires to be known of me and you. It is his desire. He wants you to know everything about him that you can possibly contain in your mind and in your spirit and in your vessel. What did he say? He said, if you draw nigh to me, I will draw nigh to you. So God meets us not halfway. God goes beyond halfway. If we just go a little ways in his direction, you'll find God running after you. Our God wants to be found. He wants to be known. He wants to establish a relationship with you and with me. It's the reason why he communicates with us and reveals himself to us. And we see it from the very beginning of the creation of man. Even that he would come down in the eve of the day, the Bible says, the cool of the day, and there he would commune with Adam. And then Adam and Eve, when she was brought into the world. And then after the communication, the relationship was lost, then we see God immediately going to work to do what? To reestablish that relationship, which he has done for me and he has done for you in the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's put our hands together for the Lord. If God did not communicate with us and reveal himself to us, then he would be absolutely unknowable. He's invisible. He fills this room, but you cannot see him. Now, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, you can surely feel him. In fact, if you even don't have the Holy Ghost, you can know that there's something in this place that is beyond you that you can feel. But it's because God is revealing himself to us. It is his desire to do that, his want to do that we would know him. And so he reveals himself. Thankfully, he does this for us. He's made it possible for you to know him. How do we do this? We do it through the Word of God. He came himself. He incarnated himself. The Bible says that God manifested in the flesh, or the Word of God walked amongst us. He wants us to know him so bad, he came down here and walked amongst us and gave us his teachings himself. We learn God through the Word of God, and we could spend so much time even there. In fact, let me kind of broaden that a little bit. Let me say to you that the only way you can know God is through the Word of God. What is the Holy Ghost in us? It is the Word of God written across our heart. And one thing you can know for sure, the Word of God and the Spirit of God will always be in perfect unison. And so you can't say, well, I know you can't find it in the Word, but God has given me a revelation. He will never give us a revelation outside of the Word of God. He will never allow us to step outside the Word of God. Because once you step outside God's Word, there are no boundaries for you. Everything we will ever need to know about God is in his Word. We have heard about him. We have constructed concepts of him. But it's not the same as experiencing him and knowing him intimately and in truth and getting a relationship with him. our attempt to live a Christian life, a Christ-centered life, is so shallow and simple and religious if it is not in accordance to God's word and in accordance to the Spirit of God. I don't want to know about God. I don't want to just talk about God. I want to know God. And when I say something about God, I want to know I'm in the book, because the book is what gives your words power. Somebody say, I want to know God. Want to know him. The Bible tells us we worship him in spirit and truth. We need to know him in spirit and in truth. Now this word knowing here, it means understanding. So we're not dealing with just an acquaintance here. We've got to go beyond just being an acquaintance with God. You know, you may say, I know him. When really you don't really know him. You just have become acquainted with that person. You may have spoken with them or known something about them or been introduced to them. I was introduced to Terrence tonight. And somebody may ask me a little later. Sister Mata may say, Terrence. And I go, I know Terrence. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I got Terrence down. Lord, I ain't done nothing but shut Terrence in. I don't know about Terrence. I don't know Terrence. I will, though. I will get to know you better, Terrence, you and Monica. If the Lord is willing, we will certainly do that. But we want to go beyond being an acquaintance. We want to know God. And this word knowing here means to be intimate with him in relationship, in perception, understanding God. And it involves a time. It involves your attention. It involves your focus. It involves your experiencing with him, observing and communicating, investing and learning and listening. And the list goes on and on and on. I want to know God. And God wants us to know him. Knowing our God, Bible says, the only true God, is absolutely the foundational and fundamental of your walk with him. And it should become the priority. Everybody say priority. Knowing God ought to be a priority in our life. Not secondhand or if I get time. No, it ought to be an urgency on the inside of me to know God. I'm here to tell you right now, most of us are frustrated Christians because we do not really know God. We're acquainted with him, but we don't really know him, his characters, his wants, and his likes and dislikes, his loves and his hates, and his do's and his don'ts, and his cans and his can'ts, and his incredible, powerful word, and his character of love and mercy and compassion that should flow through us. And we make decisions every day of our life not knowing God. And our lives would change and everything about us would change and the outcome would be different if we would just take the time to know God the way we need to know God. Our decisions would be different. Our thinking would be different. Our wants would be different. Everything about us would change. Whew. Yet so few of us really know him. Somebody say, I want to know God. We believe in him and we are blessed of him, but to know him in an intimate way. Paul states in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12, he said, for I know whom I have believed. Now that's powerful. Look at those first few words. I know whom I have believed. Most of us, we just believe, but we don't really know him, which is why many times we believe God for things that we shouldn't even be asking for, because we ask amiss, the Bible says. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. why could Paul say, I am persuaded that he is able to take care of me and keep what I've committed to him? Because he knows him. He has learned him. And he knows that his God will never fail him, never let him down, never forsake him. Provide his every need according to the riches of Jesus Christ that is in heaven. Paul knows him. That's where we want to get. We want to know God so that we can be persuaded in our walk. You say, but I am persuaded. Then why do you walk around worrying all the time? Why are you always upset, always tense, always fretting about tomorrow? It's because you haven't really learned your God. You don't really know him the way you need to know him. If you knew him the way you're supposed to know him, you would know that your tomorrows are secure in him. You don't have to worry about your tomorrows. Paul said, I know my God. I am persuaded. When we get to know God, we become persuaded in God. And when we become persuaded in God, we truly commit ourselves to God. See, we hold on to a lot of things in our lives because we're not persuaded, so we don't commit. And we're not persuaded because we haven't got to know him in that area. It wasn't just believing, but it was knowing God that caused Paul to be persuaded. John chapter 17, verse number 3. And this is life eternal. Someone say life eternal. That they might know thee, the only true God. We're talking about all the time. I want to have eternal life with Jesus Christ. I want to live forever with the Lord. I'm saved. I'm going to live for eternally with God. Listen, what is life eternal? Knowing your God. Getting to know your God. If you get to know him in this book the way we need to know him, then friend, you will endure to the end. Because no matter what happens in your life, you know God. No matter what comes against you, you know God. He'll take care of it. He'll be there. I can trust him. He'll bring me through. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and even Jesus Christ, or in Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So what is life? Life is relationship, knowing your God. Knowing our God should be embraced as an absolute necessity of life. You should consider getting to know Jesus like you consider crawfish bouillon. I mean, I'm just trying to think of the best food in the world. I think crawfish bouillon, or maybe catfish etouffee. Can anybody think of anything better? That's pretty much it. How about some shrimp gumbo? Somebody say taco? Was that you, Marla? I thought my ear picked up taco. You got a taco God, man. I got a shrimp gumbo God. It ought to become a necessity in our life. We ought to desire it like we desire other things. You get down, you sit down, you eat a good bowl of something you know you shouldn't. But then you say to yourself, you know, it hadn't quite hit yet. And you say, I'm still hungry. It's because you hadn't gave it time to go. Your stomach doesn't know you ate yet. You get up and you do what? You get another bowl right on top of that other bowl because it was just so good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. If you get to know him, you will want to devour him. You'll want to eat him. My Lord, no wonder he said, he that eateth of my flesh and drinketh of my blood. Getting to know God. If we fail to make this our priority, listen to this. If we fail to make this our priority, we will probably never truly know him as we should. You and I both know anything that's not a priority in our life, we do not pursue. Only our priorities is what we spend our time, our energy, our monies, our mental facilities. We spend we spend all of that on things that are a priority in our life. And I am talking to the Wednesday night crowd. I'm talking to the gold and silver of the kingdom. I'm talking to the group of people that we have got to get past just being saved. We have got to get into the category that I don't want to just be in the kingdom. I want to know all about the kingdom. I want to know about the King of the kingdom. Listen, Jesus didn't give the key to the kingdom to Simon Peter. And it's not the key to the kingdom. He gave him the keys of the kingdom. If I give you the key to my house, that means you have the key to the front door. But if I give you the keys of my home, that means you have the key to unlock every door in my home. Wherever you go, it doesn't matter. You have the ability to unlock it. That's what God gave to the church. Let's quit stopping at the front door of the kingdom. Let's get in this thing and start unlocking every door that God has given us opportunity to have. And we can only do that through knowledge, through knowing him. That's why James said, you ask, but you receive not because you ask amiss. Why do they ask amiss? Because they don't know their God. If you learn him, you'll know what to ask for. And if you pray in the will of God, it will come to pass. It will come to pass. Just because we can recognize him doesn't mean we know him. We live in a world today that, you know, you can recognize your dad, but maybe he was gone all of your life. And you've seen pictures, you can recognize him. It doesn't mean you know him. I can recognize things that are God, but it doesn't mean that I know my God. I want to get to know him personally in every way. We can only truthfully know him for ourselves through his Spirit and his word. We want to learn our God. We want to know correct knowledge, true knowledge. And this knowledge is found in the word of God. Tell your neighbor, you want to know God? Get in the word. He's in there. And he's not hidden. He's straightforward. That's probably why most of us don't go to it. Because he is so bold. You open that book, he's in your face. He's like, bam, right there. You're like, whoa, let's open up the comics. Because this is too, let's go back to Calvin and Hobbes. This is too serious. We want to get to know him. Our knowledge must be in the word of God. It is what he has given us. It is what he's given us through the ages of time, through the prophets and the writers and the patriarchs, and then our New Testament prophets and apostles, and writing the word of God and knowing him, the logos of God, the spoken revealed word of God. And I don't have it here in the notes, but I love that scripture where the Bible says that all of the word of God is given for inspiration and rebuke and correction and instruction. Not some of the word, all of the word of God. Aren't you glad you belong to a church that reads all the word? All of the word. The word of God is our reality. It is our truth. And here's the reality of it all, that you and I cannot walk with, follow, please, or agree with someone unless we actually know them. I taught on this a really long time ago, but, you know, when the Bible says that where two or three agree together, and we think that just means, you know, coming together and saying, all right, here's a need, and we just kind of agree. No, that agreement is way beyond that. That's when two people come together, they know their God, they get in the Word, they can see in the Word together that this is something that God wants to do and will certainly do, and then they agree together through that knowledge. When you do that, the Bible says, whatsoever two or three touching any one thing, agreeing, believing, praying in my name, it shall be done for the glory of the Father that is in heaven. Friend, you get knowledge and you get agreement together, you're going to see things happen. You're going to see things happen. We cannot follow him, please him, or agree with him unless we actually get to know him. because God is in essence an invisible spiritual being. And unless we know him in truth, that's the word, then there is no other way to know him at all. Everything I know about God and everything I will ever know about God is in the holy writ of the word of God. But you know what? I like that. I'm glad about that. This would be a horrible thing if you and I were just kind of leapt up to ourselves to find out about God and find out what truth is and just seek after God with no guidance and no boundaries. I'm telling you that not one of us would come up with the same results. We would all know God differently, but because he gave us the word of God, every one of us can get in that book. And when we come out of that book, we're going to know the same God, the same truth. We're going to be in agreement with that truth. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. Somebody shout, I want to know God. John chapter 5, verse number 39. The word of the Lord says, Jesus speaking, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. I was up this morning reading the book of Corinthians and reading that and studying verses I've read 100 times or more. And I can remember reading them and going, oh my Lord, I have never seen that. Now if I did see it, I forgot. Because it was fresh revelation right there. And in that instant, I knew my God better. In that one moment right there, I knew him just a little better about something that he was giving me in the Word of God. I got it out of his Word. His Word is precious. I hope you make it daily in your life. Not every other day, not once a week, not when you come to church on Wednesday and on Sunday, but every day of your life, you're in that word. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which what? Testify of me. If you're going to know about Jesus, if you're going to learn about your God, you're going to have to do it in the word of God. He says something similar in John 15 and 26. It is the word of God that testifies of me, talks about me, explains me, and shows who I am. So all we have to do is get to the word. The main purpose that we have the scripture is so that we can know him, and therefore we can learn how to please him. You see, this is more than me just straightening up my life. This is me wanting to please God. I don't do things just because it's a yay and a nay and a do and a don't and a can and a can't, rules and regulations. No, when he filled me with this Holy Ghost, something got a hold of my heart. I want to please my Father. I want him to be pleased with me. I want to get in the word. I want to know him. I want to learn him. I love that place in the word of God in the book of Esther, where the Bible says that they got all of the fair virgins and they had brought them in. King Ahasuerus, he had kicked Vesta out. You need to be careful for you kick your wife out too quick. You got to eat. Your clothes got to be washed. Things have to happen. So you need to be careful before you get too angry, Jim. And no, I'm kidding. Okay. I forgot. You already done that. All right. So I'm just messing with you, buddy. I love you. So we have to. The Bible says that they went and they got all of these virgins. And they brought them in for 6 months. They perfumed them up. And for 6 months, you know what they did? They taught them everything that pleases the king. 6 months, how to hold your fork, how to present yourself, how to speak, what to say, what not to say, how to act, how to walk, everything that pleases who? The king. Because they were going to be presented to the king. And then his name went right out my head. Hey, guy? Huh? Starts with an H, doesn't it? Huh? Haman? No, Haman's the bad guy. Anyway, you know who I'm talking about. The keeper of the chamberlains of the king, right? And so he goes and he brings them in front of the king one by one. And you know what the king says? The king says, ah, she's all right. Ah, she's all right. Ah, she's all right. And the keeper of the chamberlain, he told the ladies after a year, 6 months of cleanliness and then 6 months of learning, all that they had learned about God. Are you ready for this? All that they had learned about God. They thought they knew the king. I'm sorry, about the king. They thought they knew the king. And so the chamberlain said, go into the closet and pick out the dress that you think is going to please the king. And they all went in that closet and they pulled out their little dress and they put their little dress on and they walked in front of the king. And the king said, oh, she's all right. Put it with the crowd. She's all right. And then it came Esther's time. You know what Esther said? Esther said, I've been learning about the king for a year, but you've been knowing him all your life. She said to the chamberlain, you tell me which dress I ought to take out of that closet. He said, no problem, darling. It's that one right there. And when she walked out in front of King Ahasuerus, the king stood up off his throne and said, oh, yeah, that's the one I want. See, that's what this is all about. I want to get to know him so I can please him. When I walk in front of him, I want him to stand up and say, well done, thou good and faithful child. Thou were faithful in a few things. Enter in into the blessedness of my kingdom, and I will give you many things. Mercy. It's what knowing him is all about. I think that if we can leave the dimension, Brother Turner, of getting to know God just because I want to know more about him to make me smarter and brighter or whatever. No, I want to get to know him because I can please him. If I know him, I can please him. Somebody shout, I want to know God. Tell your neighbor, get to know God. Our main purpose into getting to know him is so that we can please him. Oh, my Lord. I'm on page 6 of 18. Whew. Sadly, when God manifested himself in the flesh upon the earth, he came to his own. The Bible says what? They didn't even recognize him. Now, we're talking about the finest scholars that ever lived. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Levites, the priests, the writers of the law, the studiers, and these people that studied all of the prophecies of the Old Testament, and on and on and on. And Jesus shows up, and Jesus begins to teach, and they didn't even know him. So they were religious, and they knew the word, and they studied the law, but they never really got to know God. This is more than being religious. It's more than being faithful. It's, I want to know him. You get on your knees and you begin to study the word of God and you begin to digest it in your heart. And then you begin to pray, God, bring revelation. Show me. I want to know who you are. And I want to tell you that it is possible to do this. You can know your God. This isn't about being caught up in some kind of ordinance or some kind of realistic situation, but this is getting to know God. Let's continue. Isaiah 45 and 5 says, this can be true. This can be true of any person, including me and you. Listen to this. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known. I have kept you, but you don't know me. I have blessed you, but you don't know me. I have walked with you, but you don't know me. I fed you, but you don't know me. I provided for you, but you don't know me. You almost died in a car accident, but I protected you, but you don't know me. I go everywhere as you go, but you don't know me. I'm the only God there is. There is no other God. I have loved you throughout eternity, but you still don't know me. What is God saying? He's saying, I know you, but I want you to know me. I want you to get to know me. I want to break through that barrier. I want to say, oh God, let me learn of your character. Let me learn of who you are. I want to experience you in the purity of your word. I want to become one with you, God, like your word says that I can. I want to know. Oh my God, I don't want you to say that you've girded me, but yet I never knew you. We know that verse. I don't think it's in this teaching, but we know that verse. They said, but Lord, we cast out devils in your name. We opened up blinded eyes in your name. We did all of these miracles in your name. And he said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Somehow in doing all of this, they never got to know their God the way they need to know him. This is personal. This is intimate between you and God. Intimate between you and the Lord. Get to know him. Say, I want to know him. 1 Samuel 2 and 12. Now the sons of Eli were the sons of Belial, the false god. And the Bible says, and they knew not God. Who were the sons of Eli? Eli was the priest of the day. Sons of Eli are the ones that walked around the tabernacle and they ministered in the tabernacle. It was their job to keep things in order and make sure the lamp didn't run out of oil. Make sure the bread is fresh every day. Make sure the incense is there and make sure the water's in the laver and the fire doesn't go out on the altar. It was their job to do all of these things. And they were the sons of Eli, but they never knew their God. They worked in the tabernacle. They worked amongst the priests. They were 3 feet from the holiest of holies. They were 3 feet from the Ark of the Covenant, and they never knew their God. They were religious, but they had chosen the things of the world. Samuel, the prophet, raised in this ministry. But listen, there came a moment, 1 Samuel 3 and 7, Samuel had grown in revelation with his God. When you read this chapter, there came a moment in Samuel's life that he got to know God. The Bible says that Samuel had, how's the word of the Lord put it? It says that he labored unto the Lord or ministered unto the Lord before Eli the priest and worked in the tabernacle. But one day he went to bed and he heard a voice and he ran out to Eli and he said, yes sir. And Eli said, I didn't call you. You know the story, right? He goes back to bed. Happens again. He comes back. Eli says, I didn't call you. He goes back to bed. Happens again. He hears a voice. He goes back to Eli and Eli says, Samuel, I think the Lord is calling you. The next time you go lay down and the voice says, Samuel, say, here I am, Lord. The Bible says in those verses that even though Samuel had ministered in the tabernacle, he knew not his God. But there came a moment, a time in Samuel's life when God called to him and Samuel answered. And from that day forward, Samuel began to know his God. He made sure at that time it was no longer just working in the temple. It was no longer just being there, no longer just taking care of the incense and straightening the forks and the spoons up and making the bread fresh. No, it's beyond that. There's a God on the other side of that veil, and I've got to know him. So it's more than the calisthenics of church, and I know you know that. It's more than coming and just feeling him. There's a God on the other side of that curtain, and I've got to know him. Why? Because the Bible says therein lies eternal life. Jeremiah 9:23 through 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise men glory. Don't boast or rave or celebrate in your wisdom. Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth, let him glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. You want something to celebrate? Get to know God. Don't celebrate your accomplishments. Don't celebrate your level of education. And you know we're for all of that. We don't celebrate the things that we have done upon this planet and this earth and the things that we have made or our social status or whatever it is. He said, no, don't celebrate in your riches. Don't celebrate in your earthly wisdom. He said, you want something to celebrate? You celebrate in knowing me. When you get to know me, then you've got something to celebrate about. Something to celebrate about. We need to let him who glories in this, understanding and knowing God, discerning and recognizing the character of God. He said that I am the Lord who practices loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For those things I delight, says the Lord. Get to know me. So God says many times in the scriptures that you might, that you may know that I am the Lord, that they may know me. He wants us to know him. Tell your neighbor, God wants you to know him. God wants his people. He wanted us, his people, to know and understand him. And thereby we could walk with him, have right relationship with him. He doesn't want us to remain an unknown God. You remember that verse? I put it in here. Acts 17 and 22. Paul says, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive in all things that you were too superstitious. For I passed by and beheld your devotions, and I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship. And then Paul says, him I declare. Why could he declare him? Because he knew him. I can tell you about this God you don't know. I can reveal to you about this unknown God. You know why they had that there, right? They worshiped all these gods, and then they said, just in case there's a God we missed. Just in case there's a God we don't know his name, we don't know who he is, we're going to build an altar to the unknown God. Paul comes along and says, I tell you what, this unknown God, let me tell you, he's the only God. And if you know him, you don't need to know another God. If you get to know him, you don't have to know another God. He is God. God wants us to come to him, to know him, to trust him, to communicate with him, to fellowship with him. He's after relationship with me and you. He died to save us, there's no question, to bring us out of darkness into his marvelous light, to take us out, the Bible says, out of the miry clay, and to reestablish us and firmly plant our feet upon solid ground. But he did that because he wants relationship. Not just to deliver me and you, but to have relationship with. Now, he knows us. That's the miracle of salvation. You know that, right? The fact that he would save you and know you at the same time. I know that's the miracle of my salvation. The fact that he would save me and know me at the same time is a miracle. And then the other miracle I add to that after 30 years, 35 years of being saved, is for him to have saved me then and know every failure that I would do for the next 35 years. And he still saved me. That's the beauty about God's knowledge, is that he knows us, yet he still saves us. That's pretty powerful. He knows us, our every thought. He knows our every intention. He knows the intentions of your heart, your mind. The word divides the very marrow of the bone, cuts asunder the intents of the heart. He knows everything about me, and he knows everything about you. And he desires, in all of our failures, he desires that we know everything about him. He wants us to reciprocate that knowledge to him, and he awaits to deliver that to us. I'm 1 minute over. Luke 13, 34. Would you give me a couple of more minutes? Luke 13, 34. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. He reached, but they resist it. He's reaching for me, and he's reaching for you. Let's not resist. Let's say, yes, God. Yes. I want to know you. I want to know you. I cannot think of anything that would bring more peace to our hearts and our minds and our lives than getting to know God and really understand Him and understand His Word and all that He's done. Oh, I feel such a presence of the Lord that is in this place. What a mighty God we serve. Let's love Him here together. Father, we love You. We praise You in the house. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your power. Thank You for Your love upon us, oh God. We celebrate You. We want to know You, Lord. We want to know You. We want to know You. Jeremiah 24 and 7, and I will give them a heart to know Me. You know, that's the beauty about this, is that you can't even get to know Him on your own. If you're going to know God, He's going to have to help you. So for Him to say to us, to get to know Me, that means He's going to help us get to know Him. So don't freak out trying to get to know God. You just pursue Him and God will take care of everything else. You get in this book and God will take care of you knowing Him. Oh, yes, He will. He said, I'll give them a heart to know Me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be My people, and I will be their God. For they shall return unto Me with their whole heart. No excuse not knowing God. In conclusion, let's stand. Daniel 11 and 32, the word of the Lord tells us, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. This is a very special verse to me. Because even though I was young, my pastor called me out. And it was when I had received my calling. I knew it was in my heart. But the confirmation came from Pastor Creel. And I remember when he shut down the service and he called me out. And he said, Dan, and he answered three questions that I had just asked standing in that pew. I said, God, I got to know, am I called to preach? I need to know, am I to be an evangelist or a pastor? And that was many years ago. I evangelized for a while, but he changed that. God, I have no clue why he did that to me. But anyway, here we are. And do I finish my education? Brother Creel called me out, laid hands on me, and he said, thou art to be, you are called to preach, you are to be a pastor, you are to finish your education. And then he said, the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. He quoted this verse over me. Now watch me. This is apostolics. I am putting apostolics in a nutshell. This is us. We want to jump straight from the Holy Ghost to being strong and doing exploits. We want to bypass the knowing Him. But if you're going to be strong and you're going to do exploits, you're going to have to take the time to get to know Him. You say, but the Lord... He's so slow. I picture God sometimes as a big snail crawling across space. He seems slow, doesn't he? He seems slow. And we'll say, but he is so slow. Listen, He lived on this earth. This is God now. He lived on this earth for 30 years. 30 years. At 12 years old, we got a tiny hint when He confounded all of the wise men of the day. But another 18 years, He walks in submission to His parents. But at 30 years old, John says, behold, the Lamb of God. And everything that God came to do on this earth, He did in 3.5 years. And you and I are saying, but God is so slow. No, He's not. Take the time to get to know Him. And when He's ready to do through you what he has called and chosen to do. He can do it. You know, we're wanting to rush God on a lot of things. I'm talking about as a church as a whole now. Us. We want to rush God on some things. We're like, God, we're running out of time. You know, fix this, do this. Running out of time. God says, why don't you just get to know me? And when I get ready to do what I'm going to do through you, it will blow your mind how fast I can do it. Everybody go. Isn't that something the youth do nowadays? They go. Some of us adults, we just got a permanent hole right there. All right, I'm done. We cannot be strong in God and do exploits until we know him. Knowing him is everything. And then I've got some things listed here, 20 different things of what happens to us when we know him. I want to finish with Revelations 3 and 20. If you want a copy of these notes, you can have them. You just got to let Brother Sapp know, and he's just going to count number. You're not going to get a name, just... You want him to give the email? Okay. So if you want a copy of the notes, write your name and email down. Give it to Brother Sapp. See, here's what I know. If you're not willing to write your name down and your email, and I hand you these notes, if I'd have just made a bunch of copies, they would have just went on your little shelf somewhere. And 9 years from now, you'd have been walking by that shelf. And you'd have went, what is that? Oh. Yeah, I remember when Pastor preached that. But if you'll take time, write down your name and put your email and hand Brother Sapp a $100 bill. Just kidding. Your name and email. We'll send you a copy. If you do not have an email and you want a copy, you just give him your name. We'll make a copy and get it to you, okay? We want everybody to have it, all right? But only if you actually decide. Revelations 3 and 20, I quit. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him. But he's just not going to come to you. He said, I'm going to sit down and have supper with you. And you're going to have supper with me. What's he saying? We're going to get to know one another. If you'll open that door, I knock. If you'll open that door and let me in, we'll get to know one another. So it's not like he's making us do something. He's the one doing the knocking. He's the one doing the asking. Would you let me in? I'd like for you to get to know me. I've got great things for you. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. Your word is so rich and it's so real and it's so true. I pray, Father, that this word goes past our hearing and it gets into our thinking and it makes its way into the soul of man, our feeling. And that we carry this teaching with us about getting to know you, the importance of knowing who you are. Knowing about your character, how you feel about certain things. Yea, these six things do I hate. Yea, seven is an abomination unto me. God, I want to know what those are. These things I love and cherish. These things please me. God, I want to know what those are. I want to know you. I pray, Father, help us. Help us to get this desire and this hope on the inside of us. I ask it in the wonderful, powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody say amen. And everyone say, I am going to get to know God. Shake your neighbor's hand and tell him, let's get to know God. Let's get to know God. Let's do it. I love you. We've got 9 more of these to go. And every one of them are unique and powerful. Make sure you're here next Wednesday. Get your email, your name and email to Brother Sapp if you'd like a copy of the lesson. He'll get it out to you. If you don't have an email, just your name, we'll make copies and get it to you next Wednesday. I love you. You're the greatest people in the world. Let's get to know our God. Be sure and greet Terrence and Monica. Let them know that you're glad they're here in the house of the Lord with us. Give me a few men that'll help me tear down this platform. A few men that'll help me tear down the platform. Thank you.